Coming up on this episode of Search with Kanda, I talk with Kevin Gashane, aka Getcha SEO. We were talking all about how to create effective niche content for your site and for your clients coming up very, very soon. Welcome to episode 61 of season 2 of the Search with Kanda podcast. I am your host, Jack Chambers Ward, and my guest this week is Nairobi-based freelance SEO and content writer Kevin Gashane, aka Getcha SEO. But before I get to my interview with Kevin, of course, I'd like to say a fantastic shout out to our sponsor, the one and only Systrix, the SEO's toolbox. And you can go to systrix.com/SWC if you want to check out some of their brilliant free tools, such as their SERP snippet generator, the hreflang validator, which I used for a client site the other day and was very, very handy, the Google Update Radar, which is relevant because we've just had a Google update. Funnily enough, the March core update has just started rolling out, so keep an eye on the Google Update Radar for that. And of course, checking your site's visibility index. Let's dive into some Sector Watch as well, because I love some Sector Watch. The fantastic Charlie Williams, one of the data journalists over at Systrix, is talking all about garden tools this month. So if you have a client or if you have a site that is in this niche, this is a perfect glimpse, a brilliant little piece of competitive insights for what is performing and the top domains essentially across all of garden tools here in the UK. This is especially relevant because apparently a lot of gardeners like to start new projects around this sort of time, the sort of March, April kind of time. So yeah, if you're thinking about getting some green fingers this time of year, now is a good time to go and research some garden tools. And Charlie over at Systrix can tell you what the best domains are for topics all around garden tools. Of course, when you're buying garden tools, we're thinking about Amazon, eBay, and Screwfix as well. They are the top three transactional intent domains. When it comes around to the informational side of things, Gardener's World, Garden Toolbox, and GardensIllustrated.com are the top three informational domains in the UK for garden tools. As always, and I've mentioned this a few times on the show before, because Charlie does a fantastic job of diving around and having a look at what really matters and what is really driving this site's performance. So identifying that high performing content, why it works, how it works, often how it was created, as well as what kind of keywords it's ranking for. So having a look in a bit more detail into Gardener's World, for example, their product reviews do very, very well. They have a whole different section all about their product reviews. That is the reviews/tools subfolder that they have. And speaking of Google updates, like I said, since we've recently had the March 2023 core update, they have actually been rewarded for the product review updates that have happened over the last 12 months or so. And they get a little boost in visibility each time one of those updates comes around. So they are doing something very, very right when it comes to product review. So even if you're not working in garden tools, you can still learn a lot of useful information from this high-performing content from places like Gardener's World. So I highly recommend you go to systrix.com/blog and check out the latest edition of Sector Watch, written by the fantastic Charlie Williams, and all about garden tools and the highest performing content and domains for that topic for this month. Without any further ado, here is my conversation all about niche content with Kevin Gashane. Welcome to the show. Kevin Gashane, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Jack. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah. To let the listeners in, we tried to record this yesterday. We had some technical issues, but today it's running smooth. Everything's going to go well. So I'm looking forward to having a chat with you. Discuss, basically, we're going to start off talking a little bit about your career, your journey in SEO and content writing and things like that. And then we'll dive into this week's topic a little bit later on. We're going to talk about how to create niche content for your site and for your clients. So let's start things off with your career, shall we, Kevin? Let's kick things off with how did you first kind of journey into working on website?
Jack, thank you. Actually, I'm really happy that I'm here today. It's great to what just happened yesterday. So today you're good. I'm looking forward to love something of it. So maybe to start me off, I'd say like the interest where it grew from, like where I started, I think it started back in June. So this is when I was all fascinated about websites, everything about the internet, discovering how your own website and stuff. That was amazing for me. Then, 2018, I was still in campus at Yale, my second year, and I launched my first steps then, using the three resources on the internet. That is, I used Freenome, like Hosting, Meta Domain, Hosting, an XYZ extension, just free stuff on the internet. And I launched my first website, and it was really, really amazing to see my first website already published, and I was on the internet for the first time, you know. That was amazing because I was
a
new
MC
Donor.
Right? That's a really good feeling.
Yeah, it was amazing. I was a new MC Donor for free stuff, you know. And actually, what I really appreciate about that moment and all that time, that period, I mean, it was because, like, I first got my hands dirty, you know. I well into it, I did it myself. Everything learning on YouTube, previous blogs, and there. And I did it, and the website was up and running. So I was very, very happy for the first time that I have something I can call my own. Yeah. So that was 2018. Now, like, moving forward, I don't know, maybe 2019 there. After being on the website for a couple of years, I discovered also, because I had mentioned I was in uni, I discovered, like, you could also make money. So the curiosity, yeah, exactly, the money part. Yeah, the curiosity grew. And I now discovered there are new opportunities and do amazing stuff, so I can make money online and do a lot of stuff, like, usually, yeah. On your own home, or maybe at your own dormitory, wherever you're staying, if you're a student or grown up, you're just at your own place, you can do this at your own home and get paid, you know? So I discovered Upwork around 2018 there, and I discovered, it's a global marketplace for freelancers, you know? I discovered the place and realized, wow, so this is actually a good place for people to make money, you know, any skill you have. And the good thing is actually you can learn any skill, you know, that's the best part. You can learn any skill. So whatever skill I had, I realized on Upwork I could make money. Now, since I had a website already, now the part of creating content for the website now came in. And the good part now is that I was learning and earning at the same time. So I tried to get jobs on Upwork. That was around 2019 when I got accepted on Upwork. I started bidding on jobs, getting clients, now making mistakes as a rookie, you know. Now you definitely go through the journey. You have to start from someone, but the good thing is you have to start, you know. So I started with whatever I had. My English, I think, was terrible. I don't know if it's perfect now, but I'm improving every day. I'm learning. Every day I'm learning. So I started content creation, working for clients in the Europe, the UK, US, Asia, everywhere. Any client I could get, I was on board, you know, doing it like on the go. I could take any job just that I write and get paid and learn how this thing works and improve as well. Yet. So you have to have that growth mindset as well when you're doing all this stuff. Because you want to have a goal, you want to go somewhere. I think if you start that way, better. Now, I did, like, the most of 2019, I did all of that, content writing, doing articles, doing blogs, clients, and all that. And then now, 2020, things got worse. Like, I don't know if they got worse or they got better, but either way, COVID happened, yeah? And now, online boomed. I don't know if, especially where I'm from, like Nairobi, internet loan like never before. It's strange because now people are at home. Yeah, exactly. Those people are at home. Yeah, no jobs, lockdowns, everything like is chaotic outside your home now. Yet, No, the only time you had either you had your phone, laptop, whatever, or and the internet, all those stuff. Now, that propelled me even further to in my learning and all that, because during this time I discovered that I could take courses now online. You know, after a whole year just concentrating in the States, relating with clients, learning all those. Now, to straight, I got a chance because now I couldn't go to school. You know, as I was freelancing, I was trying to balance between school work, doing the app of being positive on the side. You see, now in twenty twenty, now it looked like I was free like the entire time. Yeah, like the lockdown, no schools, no. Actually, here in Nairobi and Kenya, maybe to say, large, we didn't have much of that online learning stuff. You know, like it happens everywhere. But what happened in our case, like we tried to squeeze in some ideas and see what the mark students are at home and all that, but not serious learning school, you see. So I could get like more time to learn more things and discover more courses and discover new things that I could do. So I discovered digital marketing at that point. Because when I was doing content writing, I was seeing like on Upwork, you need a content writer who's skilled in SEO and can do not those other things. I didn't have those at that time. So I was curious and wanted to know, what's this SEO? What's...
I think we all have that moment in our career, right? That first moment of like SEO, what does that stand for? What does that
What's
mean? And
that?
that's that initial little spark, right, that then sends you off on that journey. I think pretty much everyone who gets into SEO has that moment of like, huh, that little curiosity, that little influence, that little inspiration.
Exactly. It happens, and I'm not different. Like I had that at some point, I had it, because now I was seeing the rates on Upwork. Content writer who knows the SEO gets a better rate than someone who's just doing the content. Was good because I want to earn money, of course I do, and I want to grow as well in this career. So I was very interested in SEO and learning what. All about how do you do it and how does it work? Like what's SEO? Now I discovered Google Digital Garage, I guess, can mention them. I discovered them and they had this course for fundamentals of digital marketing and I learned that took the course. And then throughout the course I got to learn about the marketing, SEO, PPC, you see, like all these marketing, digital marketing stuff, I got now to understand it better. And there was no better place for that than going to the I think Google is the biggest changing now, being the heading of the table. Yeah, you know?
Yeah, I had a similar thing. I've discovered Digital Garage as well. I remember when I kind of transitioned away from more kind of like office administration stuff, and I was doing a little bit of SEO and a little bit of website building. Thinking about that as a career, that was my first step as well. Thinking about what online training is there, what online courses can I do, going to the source, going to Google and seeing what they recommend, like going and reading their documentation for developers and going to read all that kind of stuff, like really starting from ground
Amazing.
zero, square one, and say, like, okay, the source of the information, let's not worry about, you know, influencers and blog articles and all that kind of stuff. Where do you go to get that first party information, right? When you go straight to the source of Google, I had the exact same experience. That's a, yeah, I think it's a really thing that a lot of people don't appreciate enough, I think, and kind of underestimate. Going straight to that like digital garage and having that free training is such a key resource early on in your career.
Yeah, exactly. Totally agree with you. Because, and the funny thing, like, you find these resources are just there for you. They're out there, you can get them. And very good if you just, it's only like whatever it's demanded of you, it's just having that trust and that drive to not go over them. And if you are fast enough to repeat, I think you can know the fast enough for it. And that's what happened. Because I was really, really looking forward to learn what to do and be the best in it, you know, as a content writer. Because I had dreams as well to have my own professional website, okay? And to do everything perfect. So I wanted to learn. I learned And that's what drove me at that time. And then now I discovered a friend from maybe Digital Garage came across and shared around this team, you know, and it was there. And I discovered, you know, some tools that is still, was still starting out, I guess, at the time. And yeah, you know, many resources were out there. So I took every opportunity I had and drove right out there. But like, learning, like, that's what drove me. Now, like, the entire 2020, now I was more dedicated to learning and doing all those things and still working with clients on Apple because I was still doing that, you know, and winning more clients. So, in 2021, late game, I have new skills, you know, I have all this well-packaged, maybe portfolio now, I can work with clients and present something to them, knowledge about SEO. The clients I've worked with them at the time, because I remember I got a client from Netherlands back then who was in the, I don't know, the industry, and I worked with him for like 4 months. And I got to learn so much about keyword research, on-page optimization, and, you know, and really do this, whatever I've learned and apply them to in real life, and apply them to in real situations, you see, and learn in the process of it. So in the year 2021, I did more of freelancing as well. So working with remote clients, especially focusing on on-page posts. At that, transitioning from a content writer, the best way to handle SEO was starting out as an on-page expert, you see, because you get to learn about the on-page optimization as you work on the project with the client on the group. And that was another benefit now on Upwork, because they could charge more and ask for higher rates for people who were just, I'd call them, now traditional in the sense that you know as the skills. Yeah. So 2021 now came. I did all those other courses, you know. I think I took another course on HubSpot and Bart. Now, as I started growing out and branching out from one page, on HubSpot, I focused on technical aspects of SEO, the off page. SEMrush also helped with that, especially backlink management and doing the outreach, all those off page techniques that are involved in our sales strategy. And then, now, last year, 2022, I was still freelancing as well. But something really interesting happened. You know, I got to discover, because as I've told you the story, you come to realize that I'm always trying to look out for that opportunity to grow, that opportunity to network with other people, that opportunity to discover more about the industry. You see? Now, I came to Twitter and discovered there are many SEOs there. And I could get a ton of knowledge from these people. When I get to these places and interact with these people who are in this community, I can learn more, especially and get to interact with them and discover people who are really doing this thing, not just things from YouTube. And yeah, see, you can interact with them real time. So last year was that moment for me. I got really all in on social media. I got myself into Twitter, especially. I'm going to discover about now SEC. And I started pulling this SEO expert on the space. I came across Chimamanje. She's very, very amazing. And I do really appreciate like if there's any moment I can appreciate her. Well, last year, the entire last year, it was that moment when I came across like Chimamanje. You know, this lady I discovered she not only is she a content guru, like the content guru, as you can know, and she had another initiative. Like she's looking out for other people. She wants to bring people together. She wants to showcase lives for other people. Like she's so selfless. Like she amazed me, and I was really inspired by her. And considering where I'm coming, like I've told you all this process, it was all about self-taught things, self-taught all through. Now I came across people who can walk me the path, who can guide me, like, and really walk the journey with me. And this was the goal. SDDC. And the initiatives that I realized are Chimahard was really amazing because I got into SDDC and I got to interact now with like a million, I don't know if on that figure, but I got a dozen of people, to talk with and interact with. I share the problems I'm facing. Like if I have a client and their website has this issue and I don't know where I can run, not as a freelancer, I'm not working alone. Now, but with a community like that, I get to share these problems with people and they can help me. You see, now really FCC came through and it was very helpful. And I was really glad that I came across that. And I'm really grateful for my manager and whatever she started. It's a really great initiative. And I would maybe love that if we, more people can join FCC and get to learn and get to share their knowledge between them. No,
Yeah,
that
for
was
sure.
now, yeah, exactly. Now that was last year. It happened maybe around, it was around, I don't know, October, August, somewhere there. I came across the group. And within a month being in the group, I think there is a new company in the industry. They call themselves SE Ranking. I don't know if you have heard about them. So they give like a 6 month slot for subscription for people in the community. And I, lucky me, I got to be one of among like a bunch of people who were selected for that. So like you can see the community is really impactful. These are like tools to people, like, and they're being offered to people for free. Like it's given to them without no cost. Like you don't have to pay, which can be hard for people to, especially if you're doing all this, coming from developing countries and all that can be quite hard. But through the community, you get an opportunity to interact with experts, get opportunities to use these tools, get more resources, like such a blessing, such a blessing. So
Yeah,
now
the FCPC
2023.
has been an amazing kind of thing, right? For so many people, giving. I know I've talked about it a couple of times when I talked, had Sadiq on the show, when I had Goodness on the show, even coming from the other side, from when I talked to Lily Ogbaja about being a mentor as well. It gives so many people new opportunities, right? And I think community is something, again, that so many people kind of underestimate the power of when it comes to so much digital marketing stuff. Just having somebody else to bounce an idea off of and say, hey, I'm thinking I should do this. Do you think this is a good idea? Or, oh God, I think I've broken this thing. How can I fix it? Or just having that kind of, like you said, that group of people to come up with ideas together to feel less alone, like if from a simple human standpoint of like, oh, there are other people like me who I can talk to who are in similar situations who, represent different parts of my country, my culture, all this kind of stuff. Like, that's such a key part of, I think, growth and development professionally that a lot of people kind of underestimate. And places like FCDC, Women in Tech SEO is another fantastic community. I know a lot of my guests have shouted out before that they're just doing amazing, amazing work. So yeah, really, really cool to give a shout out to Chima and the FCDC.
Definitely. Actually, there's more to it, actually. Like, there's more to it. A community is such a great place to be. You can't underestimate it. You see, you can't underestimate the power of a community. Like, especially when you're working remote and you are a freelancer, like the way I'm doing my career right now, as a freelancer, you really, really need a community to be with you, especially in the sense of things that you're doing. You see, because they guide you to work with it and you help. An opportunity to share your problem. You get to learn from their problems as well as they learn from yours. You grow all together. Now, another interesting thing that happened that got a mentor through this was I was looking for another mentor who could walk me to like walk this journey really and I'll do what I'm doing already and shine on his path. So I got introduced to she's called Jessica Pierce. She's my mentor, a very wonderful and loving lady. She's really amazing. She's taught me a lot. Because actually, as I've told you, I'm always self-taught. So there are some aspects of being a business as a freelancer which I didn't have and I didn't know how to approach. And she really came along on that side. Now I get to share my problems directly with a mentor who's an expert in this area. especially with her career and where she is at the moment, she's in a very good position to aid other people and to elevate them to maybe such places. So I really maybe big shout out to Jessica Pierce as well, Chimamanda, Linda Stories. Like, these women are so powerful and they really impacted people's lives in the way they cannot even imagine. So actually, last year was that year for me, discovering new avenues, discovering like new communities and meeting new people who have really, really helped me to come this far. But yeah, maybe in a nutshell, that would be my career so far.
Awesome, awesome. Maybe in the future you'll be a mentor as well, and you can then kind of like you said, bring that community and help other people learn and grow in that way. And yeah, it's an awesome way of doing things for sure.
Exactly. Like, I'm really looking forward to walk other people this journey as well. The same has been done to me, so we should pass the
button. Cool. Right. Shall we dive into this week's topic and talk about some niche content and basically how to create effective niche content? And I'm sure most people listening are there, as we said, if you're on SEO Twitter or if you're on LinkedIn or whatever, you hear this phrase niche content said all the time by everyone. So, like, oh, it's a great way to make money. It's an easy thing. You just, you know, decide your niche and then off you go. It's nice and easy. But I don't think it's as easy as that. And that's kind of what we want to talk about, how to actually do this effectively and professionally and make sure you're doing it correctly. So I guess let's start off with the definition of what is niche content, Kevin. How are we going to define that for the listeners?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jack. Because this is really interesting. So you come, as an SEO, one thing you'll come to discover, in SEO as an industry, you come to realize they talk more about niche. Yeah. So you can get lost if you don't understand this thing for a second out. And maybe to put it in a simpler way, you can say a niche is a niche can be an audience. A niche can be content as well. Can be a particular, like, maybe to put it in the simplest way, you can say, if you put it in the context that we are talking today, niche content, we can say it's content which can say is focused on a particular topic, an audience, or an industry. And most of the time is usually more in-depth. Like, when you focus on a niche content, it should be more specific. It should be full-blown. Like, there's no taking guesses or trying to hit something. So precise, so direct, and so targeted. Maybe targeted is the better one, because niche is a targeted audience, you get? So your niche content should be very, very targeted and focused on a particular people, on a particular audience, or a particular topic. And that's how you get niche content. And in contrast, people come to say, people talk about now an industry, or maybe a vertical, or you can say, in marketing terms, you see, is a broader now aspect of it. So yeah, you can talk about the general stuff. You can have, like, I like this example which I use. You can have maybe a unit or a subject, depending on where you are, a subject on a particular thing. But you can have topics inside that subject, or you can have subtopics under those topics, you see. And even those subtopics could have maybe subtopics beneath them. So take it like a niche is a category, like has people with the same problems, maybe with the same ideas, with the same, like, they share so many things in common, but not the broad aspect of it, which can be the entire study for it. Like, I love this example where I had this client maybe a while back when I was doing SEO on Upwork. I had this client come ask me to help them their writing process or whatever with the contract and started. Now, the client is in the pet industry, pet toys. So you can see, like, pet toys actually is a category under pet, or can be broader than that. Now, you can have Wait, did you have a that line with you? I can simply say it was Pet Stories. Now, Pet Stories, you can see Pet is a whole a subject of its own, and Stories as well, the whole subject of its own. But when you bring Pet Stories together, you get something, you see, which is categorical. But the client actually went further and never settled there. So in Pet Stories, you can talk about the read. Dogs, you can talk about cards, you can talk about regions, you can talk about whatever Pet can give. Calls everywhere. But now you have to niche down a bit and be for you to, especially when you're stepping up, it's really, really important for you to focus on one thing so that you can attract specific people in that industry. So, like this client now was in the dog stories, it becomes easier. Even when you bring your content writing, it becomes easier because you're not talking about all the pets in general, which can be very hard to convert people, especially if you're starting out. Now, but when you talk about dog toys in specific, now you have a niche audience. You have, besides them having, you can have weapons as pets, you can have birds as pets, you can have aquatic animals as pets, but now this client had dogs as the main focus. This is my getting to niche dog.
That nicely leads me on to my next question, I guess, is that thinking about how far you want to go down that niche, right? Like, you don't necessarily want to have a pet toys thing because you're going to have, like you said, that's a bit too broad. You're competing with a lot of big international companies, but focusing down into dog toys is another kind of layer down, right? That's another focus layer down. How far do you go, I guess, when trying to decide your niche? Say, listeners out there are thinking about starting to create their first niche website and go into niche content creation and all that kind of stuff. How far do you go? Do you want to go for a specific type of dog toy, or is dog toys enough? Or should you focus on rat toys, which is maybe a smaller thing rather than cat toys or dog toys?
Yeah. I totally get you. So now you'll see, it's really interesting. When you try to niche down, I think most people have the tendency of thinking it should be so precise, like, maybe just using my words again, you should be so precise that you have this niche, which is not the thing that should be happening. Because you want to go down on a niche which already has traffic. You see, you can't go to zero volume keywords and go totally down the niche. Like, you should at least balance and be somewhere where maybe. What we say, like, there's really no specific reference to which one should go in identifying their niche.
Yeah.
But as a rule of thumb, you can say you should at least have an idea of the industry, at least when starting out. Now, this should be really clear because once you're starting to get a domain or you're doing your content, but once you're settling for a domain, you should not go that so deep into the vertical so that, like, you're at the bottom of them all. No, that should not be the case. You should at least have an idea of the industry. Maybe in our case, we were talking about the client wants to deal with dogs. But still, when you talk about dogs, you can talk about maybe dog things. You know, you can dog food, you know, you can talk about the toys. There's so much you can talk about dogs. You can talk about the niches, the accessories, there's so much control, but at least have an idea of what, like, the way I say, when trying to niche, trying to niche down, you should address an audience who have similar problems. Now, do these pet owners or these dog owners are having problems with their dogs staying alone or are their dogs malnourished or, like, you see, they have different problems. Now, when you try and focus these problems into one specific area, you get a niche. So having an idea is very important. Because, like, in our case now, we're dealing with problems, not the foods, not the leashes, accessories, just focusing on toys. And it really works great, because you realize when you try to compete with everyone in your industry, you have to go far, especially when you're starting out. So, as a rule of thumb, I'd say you should at least have an idea of the industry you're entering. And so, your niche should be a point that will be easy to scale or branch out in the future in the same industry or the vertical realm, but not make it hard for you.
I think a lot of people starting off and thinking about that sort of thing, I feel like a lot of people go either way and you don't get specific enough, or you go too specific and you kind of focus on one tiny little piece of information, and kind of finding that balance is key there, right? Like you said, finding dog toys is that kind of level where you can understand where your competitors are. You're not necessarily doing leads and coats and all kinds of other stuff, but you understand. And I guess that kind of comes on to my next question, is like that competitor research and that keyword research is such a key part of that as well, right? How do we go about researching competitors in our niche, keyword research, all that kind of stuff? I feel that's a, for me, from my kind of, I've never built a niche content website, but thinking about it from an outsider's perspective, that's got to be a really, really important part of that planning and creation process, right?
Yeah, so that's another thing when it comes to focusing on the niche you're in. Because now, let's say we've already set out, we have our niche, we have already everything going, and we are about to publish content and learn more content because we want audience to come to this website and we want to attract people to come. Now, creating content can be another thing when it comes to it. But if you really went through your finding your niche first, maybe a domain and purchasing it, and before that, if you did that correctly, it would be easier now going forward. Now, because you already settled in a given niche. Now, how we approach that is you have two ways you can do about it. You can go about keyword research. The first way, they call it the manual way, you can go the hard way, which involves you going through maybe your seed term. Now, the seed keyword in the industry, which maybe in our case, we go back, we had dog toys. You can start with dog toys, like the seed keyword we have for this domain. And remember, this seed keyword will help you now to branch out to more and more keywords that are involved in the industry. Yes. So the first step can be that, whether you just punch it in Google to search, the best place, as we say, to go to, because the trend to rank on Google. Google is the biggest changing world is, unless being does something that you don't expect.
Bing have been doing some crazy things recently, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I don't think they're overtaking Google anytime soon, but they're definitely doing interesting things with ChatGPT and
They
plenty of other
have
stuff.
some problems. Yeah, they have some problems on this
They're
list.
trying. They're trying. They're
Yeah,
fighting.
exactly. So maybe let's focus on Google for now, but you can do this on either search or another search engine. You can do it on Bing, you can do it on Google, you can do it on Yandex, either search engine that you just punch your seed keyword there and then now get more ideas like from there. Because once you punch the keywords, you get the auto suggest from Google, you get the auto complete, you get the people also ask, you get the related questions. It's endless. Like it's so and use Google to your advantage. It's where you want to rank. Why not utilize it? Now, just and actually, it's free. The funny thing about this is free. I can do it absolutely for free using Google. You punch your keyword, get more related terms. They're usually down there on the page, on the sub page. You scroll down to the page, you get more related keywords. You can click on those keywords from a different tab on your computer and explore even more keywords. Now you get a huge list of keywords because Google have like a billion index pages in their website ranking for totally different keywords most of the time compared to how would you expect? Like you'd expect many pages to rank for the same keywords, which is the case, but every page you'll find even on subs, if you analyze this more, you come to realize every page has unique keywords compared to another page. But they're ranking for maybe a similar keyword to get. So use Google to your advantage to explore more keywords, which is for real, it's free. You can do this for free. Just punch your seed keyword, get related count, you give the autocomplete, you can use modifiers, try to search what, and then maybe see what the seed keyword. You can do maybe what plus dog toys, and then you'll get a list of all different things. You can do dog toys, why. You can do, you see, try to use modifiers, get different ideas. Now, that's the first way. Of which roads so you can use industry tools like Fishery companies, like SEMrush companies. Like, there's so many tools out there you could use for you as well. We have also the Google AdWords. Like, it works also amazing for that. So there's a lot of means for you, actually for free, to access these keywords when doing your search. Now, that's the first way of doing it now manually. The second way, a bit easier and usually preferred to use, because it gives you already an idea of what's working and what's being searched for in real time, faster compared to maybe a person yes, this can be a compiled data of many people over maybe a period of time. But when you go this, the second way, which I'm going to explain to you, the second way is maybe utilizing your competitors. You can also utilize your competitors to get opportunities for your keywords. And this is really interesting because when you go to your competitor, but this now will need you to have access to these paid tools or maybe some of the paid tools in the industry to get this information. Because when you punch your competitor, maybe in a tool like Ahrefs or SEMrush or I have talked about Zappa, like there's so many tools out there you can use. You punch your competitor in and see what keywords they're ranking. Now, what you want to do here is you want to go to the keywords which are low difficulty, which they call keyword difficulty. And this means that it's easier for your website to rank for this keyword. But most of the time, we find that this low keyword difficulty, low volume, we call it low volume or low KD, or maybe keyword difficulty. Is the only that, yeah. So you want to go for this keyword, and it's very easy. You just punch your domain, the domain of your competitor. See what keywords they're ranking. Don't go with keywords maybe which are ranked above 50. That can be quite hard for you, especially if you're starting out on your new website. And you don't have that much authority. So you want to go for the keywords which are low volume and as well are of low KD. Because this will be easier for you. Now, you realize like when you launch a new website, Google has this sandbox period for your website where they can't let you go to page one just instantly. They have to assess you, maybe get you for a while, see what you're talking about, see how serious you're talking about this thing, or how relevant are you in this industry that you're in, or in this niche, how relevant are you in it, how experienced are you in this industry? What's the expertise in which like, these are signals that Google is trying to outweigh in the period before getting you on the run, you see? So when starting out, it will be easier to get this expertise, it will be easier for you to get this relevance, it will be easier for you to get this experience when you start with this low volume keywords, because they're easy for you. Easy to research as well. And because if they have low keyword difficulty and they have low search volume, it means most of the big competitors are not actually focused on them. They're there for you. In this year, obviously, these are the low hanging fruits, as I presume. Because take advantage of them. You can easily keep these fruits because they are low hanging. You know, they don't need you to be up there, as we said. They just need you to be cutting out and be focused on the need and write our content based on them, and this will be easy. And another thing maybe I can highlight on that is that you when doing this keyword research, I said earlier before, you get tons of keywords, especially if you go the first method I mentioned, the manual way, you get tons of keywords from Google, or maybe the Google AdWords for using it, or maybe SEMrush, or whichever tool you're using, you get a bunch of keywords. Now, the trick here for you is to cluster this keyword so that you can build that authority, you can build the relevance, you can build, especially in the industry, you need to do keyword cluster. And this is really, really important.
Yeah, clustering really helps that kind of, not only does it help users find that information, right? Because you can then start building those pages that then link out to other pages so you can find a hub of information about everything you need to know about, I don't know, balls for dogs and different types of balls for dogs. We're sticking with the dog toy theme here.
Yeah.
Stick with that example. And then having something also from a search perspective, from a Google perspective, you're totally right. That helps build that topical authority, right? You clearly establish yourself. And I found this with a client sometime last year. A competitor appeared out of nowhere in the SERPs, and they were like, where has this company come from? We've never heard of them before. They've showed up out of nowhere. And this company was focusing on a really specific niche that happened to cross over with my client. And while we were on this call together, I was like, I don't know. I've never heard of them before. Let me have a look. And I searched like what pages are bringing in traffic. And it was around, funny enough, it was also toys. All of this particular type of toy brought in all of this traffic. And basically none of their pages, the rest, none of their category pages, their homepage, nothing else did anything interesting. It was just this niche that they really drilled down into, and they suddenly started bringing in traffic. It was full of internal links to their product pages. So then they're bringing in sales as well. I was like, this is how you do a niche content creation. And it was this perfect example of a literal demonstration to my client, like live on a video call of, yeah, they've gone to a niche. They've dived down into this information.
Exactly. Because you come to realize, especially in the e-commerce area, who are doing specifically online businesses, you see, e-commerce websites, like you come to realize big players like the Amazon, maybe Alibaba, you can get these big brands which have super category, many categories of different things. Like, and the backlinks on these websites, you can't imagine, like, so crazy. You can't compete with them. Even if you try to buy backlinks from nowhere, you can't compete with them. And these can be really super hard for many websites. Now, what do you do? Because you can realize in a case like the one I was telling you, the client I was working with as well, we were actually even outranking like some of the big sites like Alibaba. And this is because like niched down. We're talking about like, we're not just talking about pet toys. We're not talking about dog toys. Like when we're going down to content, we're drilling it down maybe. Even like we're talking about the keeping dog toys. Like, you can go even further, and this is very specific and it's very beneficial for you, because even the conversion rate will be better. And it's really good for you when starting out, because you start attracting even backlinks. Like, people trust you. They come to your domain, and what they see, first thing you're doing, dog toys. These guys for dog toys. Like, you go down, is dog toys for puppies, dog toys for Labrador, dog toys for huskies, for like your. You see, you're so specific, you're just thinking with dog toys. So even an audience or maybe a user in this case will find it easier to trust you and do business with you, because you're so specific with what you're doing. And now this gives you a good chance when in future you want to scale out, it could be easy enough for you. More than trying to be someone who's doing like all their best toys at a go, and you don't know, either you start with cards, the many pets, like you get cats, you get dogs, you get pigeons, you get, like, there's so many. So it can be hard for you to scale that amount of content in a short while and stay reserved compared to someone who's just focused on dog toys and is really putting out content on dog toys alone. Compared to you who spent thousands on these things, you see. Now, that's really interesting, because now, when you do your keyword, as you were saying now, when you're doing your keyword clustering, it will be very easier for you to be the relevance, it will be easier for you to be an authority, because now Google sees you, because when they come to your website, the Google bot comes, or whichever bot comes, that bot comes to your website, it really finds these entities, and they start adding up, and you're really focused, and your content is really niche to this area. Now, they start trusting you. Remember what we talked about the sandbox? Now, you start getting off the leash, and they start allowing you to, spike. Like in your case, they say there was this small website which came, and you have no idea how this website overnight just appeared there. No, Google realized that these people are saying whatever they're meaning, and So, they're off the leash. They can, overnight, can come to maybe top 10, and now in the room optimization, they can even outrank most of the people in top 10 as well. You see, that's really, really important.
Definitely, definitely. So we talked about a lot of positives and why we should think about how to go approach it, how we can start off our websites and drill down into our niches. What do you think are some of the biggest challenges we face if we're looking to create niche content? Because like I said earlier, you see a lot of people talking about it on Twitter, making it sound very easy. I turned this site into making $1 million in 6 weeks, all the kind of like big boasting lies that I don't believe on Twitter. How do we approach that? You know, there's going to be challenges along the way, right? What, from your experience, from your knowledge, what do you think are some of the biggest challenges you face if we're going to be realistic about niche content?
Well, yeah, it's pretty easy to talk about all these things and but doing them can be quite hard on maybe trying to get the results, as you're saying, compared to what people are talking about. But in my case, like, even when I was starting out, like, I came to realize things change, and yes, definitely, even Google does its updates, like, on every, in a year, they can do the updates, like, several times in a year. Things change, that's what it is. Even the world is still, so everything is changing, you know? So, what people, I think, most people tend to do, and even the mistake, I think, they did in our case, was thinking now, because we have this content and already on top 10 and they're doing good, they're getting traffic from it, getting good conversion. Now this content, let's leave it as it is and don't touch it at all. Like, it will go on generating whatever it's generating. That's where we go wrong. And that's the first mistake we did. Because you realize things change even in the industry. You get more news happening on a daily. You get new products being launched on there. But if you're just focusing on things that happened a year ago, maybe 3 months ago, 6 months ago, that's really bad for you, you see? Because once you publish this content and it has been given impressions by Google, they're appearing on FAPs and you're getting tracked on it, what you should do is update this content on a regular. Maybe you can do it on monthly, weekly, depending on the niche you're in, and depending on how things are changing within your niche, you can do these updates periodically. So that your content remains relevant, because relevance is key. When it comes to ranking on Google, relevance is key. You need to be relevant all through. Not you are relevant a year ago, now you're, no. Update that content, refresh it, make it new, like add new details, change the links, even if you have to. Like, update the content, do your best to have the content fresh, you see? That's the first thing.
Funny enough, I was having this conversation with a client yesterday. They had an example of a lot of the data they had from some of the clients they had worked with was like, oh, here's our roundup for 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020. And we were thinking, like, this is really good information that people would be interested in linking to. It's really good content that is just kind of being lost. And you're totally right. Going through and updating something and having that as like a hub page of here is all of the data and linking back to those old posts, but having it as a 2022, 2023, and then continuing into 2024 edition, but having it as one like key URL that then links out to these other like historical URLs. So you're not deleting the old content. You're not getting rid of it necessarily, but having it and creating it and making sure, like you said, it's up to date as possible. That's another cluster. You're building that authority. You're building that topic cluster. You're creating a way for people and crawlers to easily access those old posts so they don't get lost in, you know, paginated blogs or getting lost in the site structure they're not linked to anymore because they're 3, 4, 5, 6 years old at this point. Having that modern, up-to-date content and then linking to those pages is the perfect way of kind of bringing it all together. Like you said, building that and making sure your content is up to date and just going through and saying, oh yeah, we talked about the best dog toys for large dogs in 2022. Maybe we should do another edition in 2023. Keep that URL. Quick tip, don't put your dates in your URLs so you can keep that same URL and update it every time.
Exactly.
I've seen that before and that's a mistake.
People do this. Like, I had a client, I just took over their site and the first thing I see is what? Dates everywhere in the URLs. I'm like, God, we've so, painful. When you try now starting with directing those links and maybe updating them, it can be an issue. To just your page has been indexed and ranking on Google. It's very, very good for you. But when you try to change that, you are heading into something else. Maybe it's prioritizing it. Now it becomes a difficulty for you, and picking up these changes can really cost you. You see? So I think the best way of approaching that, don't never use div in URL. Please, don't do that. Maybe have it in the heading, and you can update the head. That's easy. You can have it in the title, maybe whatever, but that's easy to change. But in URL, quite a mess. Because you can't realize even the statistics or some facts, they keep on changing, so you need to update your content. And the best way to do it, to do the update, is through the content itself. And this will impact the entire cluster as well. Because now the entire cluster looks fresh, already, right? You see, when users come to your website, they realize, last year we were being told that rock toys can do this to a dog, and this. Now with this scientific research, and we discovered, rock toys actually either this more beneficial, or they have this negative effect. You see, updating that content is useful for your user. And this is what you want to do. You want your users never to be disappointed whenever they come to your website. Because users are everything. This is what Google focuses on. So you need that. And maybe if I touch on maybe on the another challenge which I came across and saw when doing this niche content is, especially at this point where we have the ChatGPT-3, we have so many AI tools, we have writers. Actually, I was using some of them as well in the past. Like, I was a very big fan of, I still am, I have Jasper or Jarvis, whatever. So the integration with Safa was really quite something when I was working on those tools. Sorry. So, that's really helpful. Now, you come to point, but either way, people can misuse these tools. As much as people can pay them useful, and other people can use it. Now, another problem that's really hard is balancing whatever is the quality over quantity. Because the tools you get, the tools you get the opportunity to produce a huge amount of content at once. You can produce even 100 articles in less than 3 hours. And it's very possible.
When you had that client, it's like, how much should we be publishing content? Do we need to do it once a week, twice a week, 5 times a week, 10 times a month? Like, what's the answer here? Like, that's that understanding, right? You've got to know when to balance quality and quantity.
Exactly. Okay, publishing more is good. It's absolutely good because it means you're giving Google something new. You're giving Bing something new to come and look at. You're giving your users something new to come and look at. But at the same time, you don't want to compromise the quality of whatever you're giving them. You just don't want to go over and reproduce everything that's on the internet and just publish it right away. And another thing, publish 100 of them at a go. That's insane, you see? And it really affects you. Because once, as a user, I'm coming to your website, I'm already starting to realize you have some papers, you have some irrelevant parts, you are not so specific. I'm getting disappointed. The bounce rate now starts to shoot up because people will be clicking your website and going on. And this is another signal that Google is using to rank you better. Now, when it comes and it realizes, all your content, okay, it's everything that I have in the index. So there'll be no point for it to be added. What's the point? Because I already have the content. Now, but whenever I come to your, exactly. But if I come and discover you, so this is the SAPs already, it's existing, but you have this and this and this more. Now, I should consider you and put you way above these other people talking about the same thing and introduce this new information to these new users and the same users who are coming to your website. Because Google wants more users to come to website, you see, and use its search. So whenever you have something better to offer and Google is seeing whatever you're offering is better, so much quality, better compared to the rest, surely and definitely, you're going to be there.
Awesome. I think that's some really good tips and really good advice. I think hopefully a lot of the listeners will be inspired to kind of explore creating some niche content. Like you said, at the very, very beginning, be inspired to maybe create your own website, have a think about, you know, exploring some stuff, testing some new stuff. I know my co-host Mark always talks about how having your own website to test stuff is such an important part of the learning process. And so you're not testing stuff on clients' websites, because that's not the best way to keep a client happy.
Definitely.
Having your own space to create your own website, test out stuff. Again, like you said, start off with a small niche that you can have a chance of ranking with, right? That way you can compete. Even if you're coming out of nowhere as this brand new person in this industry.
Yeah, definitely. Well, this is really important. As in, like, especially when you're practicing SEO or doing it to your clients, you should really have tested whatever you're thinking to do. You should have at least have some data to compare with. Because and this is very important for you to have your own website to do this testing, to do all this experimentation. You'll be testing whatever you want to do and test the strategy, type of strategy, because it's very important for you to do that on your own before doing it on a client's website. Because when you do it on your own, you have personal data and you can prove it to your people. But when you're doing it on a client, you don't know the results, it can hurt their business. And this is not what you want for your client, you see. And maybe another thing is starting with always go for the lowest. I really, really insist on this. Always go for the lowest keyword difficulty and lowest volume, because these are something that big players in the industry always neglect. I'll bet you $100. But I can bet you, like, most of these big players don't focus on those long tail keywords, which you come to realize those most long tail keywords are the low search volume and the low keyword difficulty. So when you focus on them and you create better content on those keywords, definitely you get whatever you are bigger players in the industry are not getting. And this will start building your brand. This will bring more awareness of your brand. This will propel you. It will engage more people to come and interact with your business, which is what you want, especially when you're doing business on them.
100%. Awesome. Well, that is some fantastic advice. Thank you for sharing it, Kevin. If the listeners would like to follow you on social media and keep the conversation going about niche content, about learning SEO together and keep that community growing, how can people find you across social media and the internet?
Oh, wow. It's great. I'm always available on Twitter. You can check me out on Twitter. Yeah, you can do that. And you can also check me out on LinkedIn at Kevin Gishane. Yeah, and on Twitter you can check me at Gecha SEO. So Gecha is my AKA, and check me out there. Yeah. And,
awesome. Listeners, links for those will always be in the show notes at search.withcanda.co.uk, so you can easily follow Kevin and keep the conversation going after we finish the podcast. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Kevin. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm glad we finally had this conversation. We've been planning it for a little while, so I'm excited to finally have a conversation with you. It's been really, really cool, really, really interesting.
Yeah, actually, I'm super happy, actually, Jack, doing this, because I was really, as well, looking forward to having this chat with you and share a bit of what I know and interact with more people as well. So thank you very much for inviting me and having me. Yeah.
Been my pleasure.
Thank you.
And that's all we have time for this week. Thank you once again to Kevin for joining me. Absolute pleasure to talk about niche content and learn a bit more about him and his journey. Like I said, links to all of his social stuff will be in the show notes at search.withcanda.co.uk. So if you want to go and follow Kevin on LinkedIn or Twitter or anyone else, please do check out the links in the show notes. I will be back next week with more SEO news and SEO interviews. And until then, thank you so much for listening. And have a lovely week.